Well, the next section in the book of Revelation is chapters 8 to 11. And tonight we just deal with chapters 8 and 9. We have had six seals opened, and we've understood that those seals are God's decree for the world from the time of our Saviour's first coming to his return in glory, and then on into the everlasting age. And now we come to seven trumpets that will sound off. And then in a later vision, in chapter 16, there will be seven vials poured out. Well, John and ourselves would not have been able to take in all that Christ revealed to him if all that was to happen in the gospel age was revealed to him at once. He and ourselves couldn't possibly take in all the aspects of God's dealing with the world, and God's dealing with the church, and God's dealing with the apostate church and the forces of evil. If the Lord were to deal with them all at once, we would get quite lost. So there are these cycles to help us see that though the Lamb continues throughout this age, from his first coming to his second coming, to carry out and to fulfil all God's will and determination that was contained in that scroll, that book, that he took out of the hand of the Father from the throne of heaven, well, they are sort of categorised for us in such a helpful way. In the way the seals, the trumpets and the vials being poured out are very much parallel with each other. But they're not merely repeats. We can say that the seals being loosed are more general in character as to what the Lamb does, his conquering and temporal judgments on the world, and his final judgment. Well, we saw that those seals represented on occasion war, and then famine, and then disease. Well, the trumpets, as we shall see, a little different, and then later the vials are more striking in their similarity and details. But the trumpets herald God's judgment on an unbelieving and evil world. So this is not just an evil world that breaks God's commandment, but now we're thinking more of the unbelieving world, how they react against God. This is seen in the trumpets being sounded. And the vials, later on in the book of Revelation, when we come to them, will show the Lamb pouring out his judgment on the apostate church. And but all in the same era, that gospel age in which we dwell today. And even to say that, we can somewhat understand that these need to be dealt with separately. How does God deal with the world? How does he deal with false profession and false religion and unbelief against his revealed world? And how does he deal with false religion and especially when it brands itself as Christianity? Well, the Lamb, in loosing the seals and fulfilling God's decree for the church age, the gospel age, accomplishes many things in many directions against different aspects of opposition to himself and his church. And always in mind is the grand purpose he has for his people, for his church. Well, it's spiritual safety and its glory and its end in everlasting bliss, and all to the great purpose of the book of Revelation, the comfort of God's people in all ages to the end of the world. Well, in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, you see the seventh seal is going to be opened. And that's going to issue in the sounding of seven trumpets. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Well, in Old Testament days, you'll know that the trumpet often was an alarm. Ezekiel, you know, was appointed as a watchman to sound the trumpet of warning to the people. And if he did not, he was told that their blood would be upon his head. Well, these trumpet sounds are definitely warnings to the earth, to the world, that greater judgment was to come to all that did not repent and seek the Lamb. If they didn't repent, they would likewise perish, as with others in the world. Well, the trumpet sound and the judgments that followed have a sort of double effect. Whilst bringing woe upon the world, they strangely bring peace to the saints that understand what it's all about. And it's really why we have this book of Revelation for us, so that we will understand what's going on in the world. Well, the trumpets sound and the judgments that fall have that double effect of bringing woe upon the world and peace to the saints. It's a bit like the plagues in Egypt. At first, the judgments on Egypt and on the Egyptians affected the Israelites somewhat as well. But as the plagues continued, you'll remember, more and more the Israelites felt the difference as God made the difference between them and the Egyptians. And so in this world, the Lord's people are very much bound up with the unbelieving world. We rub shoulders with them, as it were, suffering its famines, its injustices, its wars, its so-called natural disasters. But in all of them, and through them all, the saints know that they are spiritually safe, that God has greater purposes for us, and an eternity of wonders, well, and fellowship with God, of course, and the Lamb. And this settles us, this calms us, in the most extreme, terrible situations that happen in this world. It strengthens us and encourages us to continue in witness and godliness. This is what we see with many of our brethren around the world in the most awful situations. How can they abide it? Well, they know that what they suffer now is not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in them. And they know that their Heavenly Father has everything under control, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that's fulfilling all that decree of God in this world at this time. Well, God has separated us from the unbelieving world, and we know that we are loved of God. Well, in chapter 7 and verse 3, you realise that the believers are sealed. Chapter 7 verse 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads, till every one of the elect is saved." Sealed up against all spiritual harm. Our election is sure. We cry, chapter 7 verse 10, with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, which sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." And we are those that, in verse 14 of chapter 7, say, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The sealing in chapter 7 is our conversion. Without these trumpets that sound, and the judgments that fall on the sounding of them are directed to the earth, the world, as we shall see. And they take up their symbols especially from the plagues that fell on Egypt in Moses' day. Look there in chapter 8 verse 7, I'll just show you this verse. The hell mixed with fire. Chapter 8 verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up. And then we have water turned to blood in verse 8. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And in chapter 9 and verse 3 we have the locusts, and they came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. So you see that these pictures come straight out of the Old Testament, and even the plagues of Egypt. We can see why this reflects back on the plagues of Egypt, because of course Egypt was judged because of her opposition and oppression of the ancient people of God. And now we have the New Testament Gospel Age equivalent of it. And these judgments that follow on the sounding of the trumpets also fall on the whole world for her opposition to Christ, and the opposition often made against the true people of God, the church. These trumpets of judgment proclaim and initiate calamity, not any specific event in history, but being synonymous with the loosing of the seals, they are things we find around the globe on any day, in any century. Well, verse 1 of chapter 8, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. Before the trumpet sound, in response to the loosing of the seventh seal by the Saviour, there's silence. The Old Testament, as so often in the book of Revelation, is the key to this silence. As for instance in Habakkuk 2:20, "The Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." The silence comes before the judgment of God, and it's as if the very inhabitants of heaven stand in awe, amazed, dumbfounded with the great calamities that are about to be initiated, a bit like in our courts of law. Before a sentence is given in a great and famous trial in an auspicious courtyard, all is quiet until the sentence is given. And all heaven awaits here in awe and trepidation, as it were, of God's pouring out his wrath upon the earth. That's this silence that's mentioned here for a short space. And verse 2, you see seven angels the seven angels which stood before God, and so they were given these seven trumpets. Well, seven, of course, this is going to be perfect judgment, and perfectly applied, totally just and right. And verse 3, and another angel comes and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, a golden bowl, and there was given unto him much incense put into the bowl, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And of course the pictures go back to the tabernacle. Well, this is very interesting, that the very judgments of God in the world are in answer to the prayers of the saints. It's interesting, isn't it? As they ask God to vindicate his truthfulness and righteousness. This is not the saints asking for revenge or for calamity to come upon the unbeliever, no. But as the saints pray that the Lord may be vindicated in all he said, in all that he's done, in all his holiness, well, of course, it's inevitable that such prayer will result in the Lord issuing forth in his active righteousness against sin. There's no holiness unless he acts against those that break his law and disbelieve his word. And as they ask God in prayer, the saints, to show himself to be the living, holy God, well, the Lamb answers with the trumpets and the temporal judgments that come upon the world that we're going to see in these next couple of chapters. Well, in verse 4, God hears and answers them. And the smoke of the incense, this which came up with the prayers of the saints, so this is the prayer of the saints going to heaven, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Well, he's going to answer these prayers for himself to be vindicated and his holiness and power shown. And of course he's going to answer those prayers far more exceedingly above whatever we should ask or think. And then verse 5, the judgments are directed to the earth, or rather the world, in symbol. Verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Well, here we see that they're directed to the world, and especially we'll see to the unbelieving world. We know this is judgment because we have thunders, lightnings, earthquakes, and always these are symbols in the book of Revelation of the judgment of God. In verse 6, you see the angels are ready. Seven angels which had the seven trumpets, they prepare to sound. They are ready. In verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burnt up. That's the first angel. Well, remember in the Old Testament, the reference most likely to Egypt persecuting the people of God. The seals were to do with general evil against God, but here the trumpets, we keep in mind people's opposition to God and his word and his people. And here judgment falls on the land, the earth. In that sense, the trees and the grass are greatly affected. Well, in symbol, a third, a large proportion of the people have this calamity come upon them. Here God judges opposition to himself. So let the world know that God is not well pleased with them. And the warning is of great judgment to come. And all those who will not submit to his word, his revealed word, well, and to the gospel preaching of the church, well, this will continue throughout this present period, this gospel age. And in verses 8 and 9 we have the second trumpet sounded. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Well, now it's the sea that receives the judgment of God, filled with calamity, tsunami perhaps, and storm and hurricane and blood, but really these are spiritual things that we're thinking of. This continues throughout this present period, this gospel age, and so this is a great, it's as if a great erupting volcanic mountain is hurled into the sea, with the awful consequences of that for those in the sea and on the coasts. And in all ages God does this, that men might, as they on the sea mount up to heaven and go down to the depths, and their soul is melted because of trouble, and they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and they're at their wits' end, that then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. But God continues his judgments like this against all opposition to himself and to his word. And then the third trumpet in verses 10 and 11. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, bitter water. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. This is a little more difficult. This will terrorise men and ought to send them to God. And when you read this in verse 10, well, this is fearful. It shows beyond doubt that judgment comes from God. It's coming from heaven. And as the star falls from the heavens and it destroys much of the water supply, and that would include the transportation and the commerce of the world, which largely, of course, in John's day was carried out by the river and the sea, and it destroys so many fountains of waters against man's most important supply for life and living. And this star, Wormwood, this is the symbol of bitter sorrow. Sorrow that hates God and detests any idea that God is in these judgments and yet is forced to acknowledge it. So throughout this era, the Gospel Age, as there is so much opposition to God and his word and his true people, God's judgment will continue to smash man's supplies. And all means he has to live by. His natural supplies, but also his commerce, his industry, his inventions, his evil pleasures, of course. And such bitterness, such calamity, will either destroy many directly or make men and women to suffer and expire in great bitterness. And many people's lives in the world, of course, are just absolutely bitter, absolutely without any real pleasure, and are wretched. Well, this is always how God works, to wake men up to their need to seek him and to find him as the only safety in this world. And then in verses 12 and 13, the fourth angel. The fourth angel sounded, third part of the sun was smitten, third part of the moon, third part of the stars, so that's light, all were diminished there. And as so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth. So as the fourth angel sounds the trumpet, again to initiate calamity in the world. Again, this is not some specific event, as some would have us believe. This is the ongoing temporal judgments of God in this world. And this is symbolic, of course. This is especially aimed at the opposition to God and his truth. And here it's light. Light that is restricted to a very great extent causes such fear and trepidation. Well, in the ancient world, people were far more frightened of cosmic occurrences than we are now, of course. But the symbols stand today, as ever, that God rules in the heavens. This is slightly more difficult again, but clearly the calamity is different from the first three. Here light is turned to darkness. Here we think is God in the face of the rejection of his word and of the church's witness and evangelism that he hides now his word. It's rare. And so as atheism increases, so also falls ordinary wisdom. And even the light that man once had is lost. And so the world suffers from all the evils of darkness and lack of spiritual light even more. Some places that once had the light so clearly now sit in dark, dismal light of unbelief and atheism and all the evil that comes on man as a result. We see this, don't we, clearly in our world today. And so verse 13, woe indeed. And there's more to come, as the angel says. And in chapter 9, in the first 12 verses, the fifth angel sounds, the fifth alarm of the trumpet. And a star falls from heaven, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given a key of the bottomless pit. We cannot but think of the Saviour's words as the disciples preached the gospel, that he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, Satan himself is placed in the pit and shut up there, so that his power to deceive the nations is greatly restricted and the gospel spreads around the world. That happened at the beginning of the Gospel Age. As the Saviour said, he saw him fall from heaven. Here we have the effect of it, all under the Lamb's control, of course, so that even the forces of evil are used of God for his purposes. Here, the star falling is either Satan himself or one of his minions, his subordinates, the fallen angels. And as the pit is open, verse 2 with the key supplied, we read this. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, this is God using even the devil and his angels. As the pit is opened, there is an outburst of a great and foul smoke, a sulfuric stench and mist, like a great furnace, so thick that the sun itself is darkened, and with the smoke I let loose, verse 3, upon the earth there came out a smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Well, these let loose by Satan are no doubt demons, fallen angels of evil, under the direction of the devil. And the decree from the scroll was that these demons would do great damage to unbelievers, all who were not sealed and safe by conversion, verse 4. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass or the earth nor any green thing, neither any but only those men which have the seal of God, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So these demons are there to damage those who are unbelievers in the world. Here we're being shown the great and terrible damage Satan and his fallen angels, the demons, do to unbelievers in this fallen world. Well, the God of this world has blinded them, and so they don't believe the gospel. But not to kill, but to torment, verse 5. And to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Well, this will be so bad that suicide will be preferred. And in those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Well, this is all where people just don't find the meaning of life, and they're in a wretched condition, and they find themselves in a state where life has no purpose, no meaning to them, and many would even want to take their own lives. That's the state they get in because of the blinding of Satan and them not coming to believe in the gospel. Well, the demons are as destructive as locusts, verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces were the faces of men. Well, as strong as a cavalry. And as a horse charges into battle without fear of what havoc it causes. Well, they have crowns. And they are victorious in their battles, this evil army. And they are as intelligent as men, rational, in their war against anyone seeking God and his war. We know the great battle that is set up in the life of someone who would seek, begin to seek the Saviour. This is why evangelism is so hard. This is why our churches are so small. It's why we find it so hard to get someone to even come and hear the Bible. This is what's happening in the background. Well, verse 8, we read that this army that deceives many and keeps them from the gospel are very alluring in their appearance. And they had the hair as the hair of women. So they were attractive like women. An unbeliever, the unbeliever likes his sin, and he likes his manner of life. And he doesn't want to seek after the gospel. He doesn't want to change his manner of living. Because you see, this army comes to them with their teeth like lions, tearing to pieces their victims. You see, spiritually, they have the victory over them, because they will not come and trust in the Saviour. And verse 9, they're ruthless in their ranks, and they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. And so this opposition of Satan is all in order, and is directed by him to keep any from any spiritual light. This is why it's so hard to win a soul for the Saviour. And yet, verse 10, they are limited. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So a short period. Whenever Christ would save, he does so. This is the power of the gospel, when the Lord by his Spirit comes and would save one of the elect. But this army that fights tooth and nail, as it were, to stop anyone believing in the Saviour, they have a commander there in verse 11. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue have his name Apollyon. Well, the Hebrew there, the destroying angel, and in the Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. That is Satan. He commands all his forces to their work. This is the great spiritual calamity that God, through the Lamb, sends on the earth. He allows Satan's troops to blind and to destroy men's souls. Only the grace of God can save them. Only those that God converts, and any that have not been sealed by conversion, as we saw in 7 verse 4, will be destroyed by the Spirit. Blindness, the temptation and sin caused by the devil's henchmen. And as the world looks at the misery of sin and opposition to God, and some by God's grace see the madness of unbelief, then the Lord uses even that to save some, and we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, but are comforted to know that we are safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's forces use all sorts of things to keep his castle strong and intact, and even the woes that come upon the world are used to keep people from believing and trusting in the God of salvation. Well, all this is woe to the earth, verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes hereafter. This is not enough. More is going to come into the world. And so the sixth trumpet is going to sound in verse 13. The seventh will not sound until chapter 11, verse 15, to issue in the everlasting age at the end of the world, and thus end this period in this part of the book from chapters 8 to 11. But here, chapter 9 and verse 13, the sixth angel with the sixth trumpet alarm is sounded, and I heard the voice of four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. He sounds the trumpet, and a voice speaks from heaven, from the altar, the golden altar, not the altar of sacrifice, but the incense altar. This is the prayer of the saints. This voice is again the result of the prayer of the saints, for God to vindicate the gospel and his word and being against all the unbelief that there is in the world. In verse 14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. In the Old Testament, you remember, Israel's greatest enemies came from the Euphrates, Assyria and Babylon, hordes of them. And don't forget, God uses those evil forces to punish opposition to his word there, even amongst the ancient people of God. And these angels are loosed, and we see what follows. They are the evil angels, loosed and sent to cause mayhem in the world, through war especially. In verse 15, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay a third part of men. They're loosed, they're let go, to plunge into the world into war and self-destruction, but especially spiritually, to keep people from the Lord, and to keep a spiritual war going on between themselves and the Lord's forces. And so, verse 15, you see all is determined, planned carefully and arranged by God, the times, exact times and places of man's destruction. A third, we read, of people there being slain. Well, an enormous numbers of the world's population to be slain. That is, spiritually, to be destroyed. And verse 16, there can be no escape. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. Of course, this is just symbolic of a very large number of opposition. There can be no escape. The evil army is 200 million. I understand that the population of the United States is over 300 million, so you get an idea of the numbers. Well, symbolically, these are the horsemen, the strongest of armies then, in picture. And they are all splendid in one way, verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. All splendid, dazzling, strong and fearful, this enemy army. And there's their success in chapter 8, verse 18. By these three were the third part of men killed by the fire, by the smoke, brimstone, which issued from their mouths. Well, their success in spiritually blinding men and women and causing their eternal destruction. Well, this is the Lamb carrying out God's decree, using even the forces of evil. This is spiritual death, spiritual blindness. And verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. It's what they say. It's what they say. It's what they teach. All opposition to the truth, atheism, and all philosophy that goes against the scripture, and all this world's wisdom. Oh, that's all used by Satan to keep people from the Lord, so that people think they're safe in one sense, and so they won't believe the Bible, they won't believe the revelation of God, they won't believe the gospel. It's what they say, what they threaten, that's what keeps people from the Lord, that's what causes so many spiritual deaths in this world. And you see there in verse 19, their sting is in their tail. It's not known what their spiritual persuasion will do to man till it's too late and wrath and destruction comes. And in verses 20 and 21, even if not actually killed by the calamities of this world, still hearts are hardened. There's no repentance. God's judgment will be just. He's given all fair warning. Verse 20, and the rest of men that were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, and that they should not worship devils and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And we shall see in the sequel of these great and fearful judgments of the earth in the next two chapters. But friends, the message of the trumpets is that Christ rules in all things, in accordance with the scroll, the decree of God in this present age. Even the evil forces of Satan are under his complete and absolute control. The blood of the martyrs is precious in God's eyes. The prayer of the saints is heard on high. God sees their tears and their suffering and sends all his warnings down, using even Satan's hordes to do his work. But in the end, still, the vast number of the population will not believe. They will not repent of the first breaking of the table of the law, as you see in there in verse 20. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they shouldn't worship devils or idols of stone, and the rest, those that can neither see nor hear. Well, you see, that's all in breaking the first table of the law, that we should worship only the Lord our God, and him only shall we serve. And then in verse 21, they repented not of the second table of the law, their murders, sorceries, fornication, thefts, all the thou shalt nots of the Ten Commandments, and God will judge them in righteousness. But we're glad and greatly wonder at the grace of God in saving us when we think of all the evil that is against us in this world, as we think of all the evil there is in the world that keeps man from seeking God. We must continue to trust in God and sound out the gospel message. What hope has any man except they believe the gospel? None at all. But how shall they believe if they don't hear? And how shall they hear except that we be sent with the gospel of grace? We must not get down about smallness. We must not get down that no one will listen to us. We know why they won't listen to us. We see it all here in the book of Revelation. And so we come to our God, and our prayers must ascend to the Lord in those golden censers, as it were. And the Lord will hear, and he will come, and he will bring judgment upon the earth. But also he will call out his elect by the calling of the gospel, by his grace. And so we don't lose heart, because we have this for our comfort, to know that even all the wretchedness, the wretched evil and opposition there is to the revelation of God and the gospel, is all seen by the Lord before it happened. And all the forces of evil are even used for his own purposes. And we stand awed before our God and give him praise and worship. Amen.